This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. And happy Friday to you, Michael.
Yes, happy Friday to you. Good crisp morning, blue skies. It's great outside.
Well, blue skies in most of the region, not all of them.
Okay.
We had some rain pass through here this morning. Let's start with Walmart earnings report and their thoughts of the future.
Well, their earning report, it's a mixed bag, really, which what we often get with Walmart. Their net income, a little over $3.7 billion, was better than what analysts expected, but their top-line revenue of about $115 billion was under what analysts expected, and that may not always mean anything to the regular shareholder or to Walmart execs, but what it tells us, and especially after what Walmart said, is that they're concerned about the consumer. The consumer's still a little stingy, a little uncertain about what's going on, even uncertain about their job. And as a result, Walmart has lowered its full-year earnings guidance, and this is at least the third time this year they've lowered that guidance. And in that mixed bag, we also get, you know, their same-store sales in the U.S., which is a closely watched metric with them, was down 0.3% in the quarter. But their small-store format, like their neighborhood markets, their comp sales were up 3.4%. Sam's Club had comp sales of up 1.1%. So, you know, again, that's one of those, it's good and it's bad at the same time. Their overall sales grew. I mean, nobody's going to cry for Walmart. Their overall sales grew by about $68 billion. So that's a good thing. But you know, this is an important. Obviously, it's an important quarter. It's their holiday. It's their fourth quarter. It's their holiday quarter. And I think though, from a consumer standpoint, we're seeing a lot of these retailers trying to really track market share, capture market share. And the way they're going to do that is to continue to lower prices, especially on, you know, tablets, electronics, that type of thing. So hopefully this will be a good holiday for the consumer.
And they have said this week that they still don't know what effect, if any, a reduction in SNAP benefits will have or has had on their sales.
Right. And the other thing, speaking of that, the other thing is we're still watching how much they're spending to on their investigation, their global investigation in that Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, and they reported that they've spent about $224 million so far. Now, when you make $3.7 billion in a quarter, $224 million, as crazy as it sounds, isn't a lot of money, but it's still a headache for them.
Well, so then if you were comparing numbers, $11 million to those big numbers doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're trying to create a water park, it does sound like a lot, and it sounds like more than what you wanted it to sound like.
Yes, this is the Sebastian County Quorum Court and the Fort Smith Board of Directors have teamed up. We've talked about this some in the past. Have teamed up to build a water park. They gained voter approval for this, which seems like an election that was held a decade ago, but it was $8 million, and it kind of maybe went up to $8.8 million. Well, they finally got some initial estimates. Now, mind you, these are just initial estimates back from the architects and other folks, and they're looking at $11 million water park. So where do they get $3 million? Where do they get $3.5 million or so, or $2.5 to $3 million, I should say? It'll be interesting to see if the Quorum Court, which both Sebastian County government and Fort Smith government don't have a lot of money to throw around. I mean, the city of Fort Smith has already had to initiate a 4% across-the-board cut this year because their sales tax revenue was not coming in well. So this is going to be interesting how they respond to this, because if they cut back on what the park is, you know, I think voters may not be happy with that. But if you're going to have to spend another $3 million, where do you find that? And, you know, with Rogers Water Facility open, Clarksville, the city of Clarksville just opened theirs and have expanded it, and it's a nice facility. At some point, if you're not building a quality water park, I mean, if you're just nickel and diming it, you've got to wonder what kind of regional draw, you know, what kind of competitive park you'll be able to construct. So this is fixing to get interesting again.
Finally, there's been this sort of convergence of stories about women in Arkansas politics. Yesterday on our program, I talked to Stephanie Harris, who founded Arkansas Women Lead, trying to get more women to elected office. There is a conference that just completed on the University of Arkansas campus about second wave feminism and what that might mean. And on the City Wire this week, kind of a discussion you had about the pipeline. Arkansas, one of the few states that has never elected a woman to governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general. I think there are five that have never done that.
Right, and 24 states have never had a female serve as governor, and we're one of those. We were inspired to do this story. We received a press release from Governor Fallon that she was going to run for re-election, and being Fort Smith in Northwest Arkansas, as we, you know, we're right up next to Oklahoma. We, you know, that and a lot of our trade market in both regions comes from Oklahoma. We try to keep up with Oklahoma politics, and then. Roughly about the same time, Susana Martinez from New Mexico, was in Fort Smith to speak to the Sebastian County Republican Committee in their Lincoln Day dinner. And so we, just sitting around, we thought, well, here are two females that are at the top office. Arkansas, of course, we have Deborah Hobbs, a Republican there from Rogers, running. Her odds are not good. As we said in our story, if she wins, it would be the upset in Arkansas's political history. But it just got us to thinking, what will it take for Arkansas, Arkansans to elect a woman governor? And Governor Governor Beebe, his take was it's just going to be the right candidate at the right time. He doesn't think Arkansans really put too much thought into the gender or the party. He thinks Arkansans, they vote for who they think the best person is, and that's a good argument. But it was interesting, Janine Perry, a university professor there at Fayetteville, well-known, conducts the Arkansas poll, and Megan Tollett, who's the executive director of the Republican Party of Arkansas, both in separate interviews gave very similar answers that were interesting, and they essentially said, in Arkansas we've typically elected women to these more feminine roles, like auditor,
treasurer,
secretary of state, And Janine Perry, and this is her words, I would have never said this for fear of getting in trouble, but she said, you know, we think of our governors, let me try to find the term, you know, we think is our governors as daddies, and more of our legislators in those other positions as the mommies, and so that's how we tend to vote, and we've kind of had a gender attachment to those, which I thought, I'd never thought of that. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, and as your article on thecitywire.com points out, there's this whole pipeline problem. When you look at Arkansas's legislature, just 17% of the people in the House or the Senate in Little Rock are women.
Right, and that has been higher in the past.
Yeah, it's been as high as 22 or 23%.
Exactly, and so it'll be interesting to see how we get back there. But their point is, you know, women... and again, this is Janine Perry and Megan, that women wait later in life to get involved in politics, wait later than men do. And so they see that as what they call the pipeline problem, that whether it's getting involved at the school board or city council or wherever, more women have to get involved and get in the system and start moving up.
Well, the article is at thecitywire.com. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, thank you so much.
You're welcome.